Now, Reverend Rita Schaefer will lead us in our opening meditation. See you this morning. If you were with me last Sunday or the Sunday before, you remember I talked about my book for 2015. My book for the whole year is The 12 Powers of Man by Charles Fillmore. This is an experience in faith for me because it's a little book. How are you going to get 12 months worth of Sunday talks out of this little book? What I know is life, with a capital L, God, Spirit, the universe, our higher power, has the most amazing ways of bringing whatever is necessary to us for whatever we've chosen to do. And so what I know is it's going to flow just as it has always flowed, and I invite you to be with me throughout the year because it's going to be an interesting experience, and I just know that, as always, we'll get what we need to get when we need to get it. So the first power is faith. And we talked last Sunday about the experience of faith and what we believe in. And so this morning I want to talk about what our responsibility is when we do our affirmative prayer. You know, Jesus said, pray believing as though you have already received and you will receive. So that's why we do affirmative prayer, recognizing we're not begging, pleading, beseeching, hoping for whatever it is to happen. We are accepting, because Jesus also said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, what's the kingdom? The kingdom is not the sweet by and by. It is this moment, everything that makes your heart sing, everything that makes you celebrate, everything that makes you recognize that you are the beloved. That's the kingdom. And Ernest Holmes says, if it's the Father's good pleasure to give it to us, it should be our good pleasure to receive it. So we do our affirmative prayer work, our spiritual mind treatment, whatever you choose to call it. Then what? Where's our responsibility? And where do we need to step back and allow Spirit to do what Spirit does? So that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Note to self, you could have used a bigger lectern, but that's okay. At the risk of repeating myself, I want to just review from last week. And those of you that were with me last week, please bear with me on this. So who are we talking to? If our concept of the divine is the Heavenly Father, do we have God in man's image? And that's an interesting point for us because a lot of progressive Christian organizations say, and you'll hear me say, Father, Mother, God, or God, Spirit, the universe, our higher power, but because God the Father, if you didn't have a wonderful relationship with your earthly father, or maybe had no relationship with your earthly father, we sometimes project the characteristics of our earthly father onto God. My father is wonderful and always was, loving and nurturing and not accepting but embracing. So I mean above accepting, just wonderful, so I can do that. But not all of us were fortunate enough to have that experience. And if you didn't, I so invite you to look at that concept of God, Spirit, the universe, or higher power, as the loving, nurturing presence as compared to the guy that you go to and say, could I have X, and he either gives it to you or doesn't, depending on whether or not you took the trash cans out yesterday, or whether or not he's in a good mood or not. Because our perception of spirit, it reflects our life and our experience of spirit. I talk about the Santa Claus concept of God. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You know, that's the Old Testament, hateful, surly, cranky, judgmental, withholding God. And that's not who the universe is. The universe, spirit, says yes, of course. Yes, of course, it's my good pleasure to give you whatever it is. But it's so important for us to recognize where we are in the scheme of things with that relationship. The Science of Mind textbook says treatment, so we're talking about our affirmative prayer, our spiritual mind treatment, is the science of inducing within mind concepts, acceptances, and realizations of peace, poise, power, and plenty, health, happiness, success, or whatever the particular need may be. We use the word science, and we use the word law. And I think it's important for us to recognize the significance of that, because gravity is a law. I am not concerned that this lectern is going to go flying off into space. I'm not worried that you all will go flying off into space because of this law called gravity. It's a law that works for everyone, everywhere, all the time. It works here. It works in Albuquerque. It works in communist Ubangi. It works everywhere for everyone all of the time. The same thing with this science of mind, with this law of mind. It works for all of us the same way all the time. If there's something going on in our lives that isn't what we would have chosen, we get to look at it, make the decision for something new, and change it. It works all the time when we allow it to. The Science of Mind textbook says, treatment is not willing things to happen. It is to provide within ourselves an avenue through which they may happen. Treatment opens up the avenue of thought, expands the consciousness, and lets reality through. We shall often need to know that the truth which we announce is superior to the condition we are to change. In other words, if we are speaking from the standpoint of spirit, then there can be no opposition to it. I love that concept of the standpoint of spirit. Last week I talked about Frederick Bales used the words, the infinite in form. I am the infinite in form. You are the infinite in form. What does that mean to us? What that means to me is the essence, expression, and experience of God. So what is that? That's perfect health. That's this most amazingly, deliciously wonderful experience called life. That's the experience of celebration that Reverend Rita was talking about, and recognizing that we get to celebrate when we choose to, even if the egg got broken. I was talking with somebody, and inevitably, and talking about the experience of receiving the gift that looks so not like a gift. How often in our lives do we get presented with this wonderful experience? And you've heard me talk about the word wonderful before. Sometimes it's wonderful, and I'm so excited. And sometimes it's wonder dashful, as in, I wonder how in the world I got myself into this situation. But we get presented with this situation and we say, when we allow ourselves to, we can say, there's something going on here. Where's the gift? Where's the lesson? What do I get to heal? What do I get to look at and change? What in this experience is the blessing? We don't use that word often enough. What is the blessing in this experience for me? When we do that, we see that there always is one. Sometimes it takes a little longer, and especially in relationships with families, and you've heard me talk about some of that. Sometimes it takes a little longer to figure out that there's a gift there, but there always is, and sometimes the gift is allowing us and requiring us to stand in our truth and say, no, I'm not doing that. No can be an amazing blessing because it allows us to stand in our truth. So the standpoint of spirit is that appearance or condition of struggle, but the truth of knowing that spirit is our source. It's the condition of physical challenge, but the truth of our absolute perfect health. It's the experience of chaos, but the absolute knowing that in the midst of all of that, the foundation of joy is still there and that all is well. The standpoint of spirit is that it's a new day. It's a new moment, full of possibilities. This morning's sunrise was completely different than yesterday's, which will be completely different from tomorrow's. The sunset, the same thing. Nature and the world around us is always fresh and always new. The standpoint of spirit is, yes, but, because sometimes we come with that, well, it didn't work last time, or we come with that. It didn't work last time, and I'm not going to do it again because I'm just discouraged and I'm tired. But Spirit says, if you're divinely guided to do this, there's another way to do this, another way to look at this, because it's a new day with new possibilities, and you're different than who you were yesterday. Isn't it wonderful that we get to change? Isn't it wonderful that we have to change and have that new thought? We call this new thought because we gotta. If we schlep yesterday and last week, I so love that word. If we drag that along with us from last week and last month and last year and 30 years ago, if we drag that with us into tomorrow, Spirit says, well, okay, we get to, but how does that work for us? We get to have a new thought and look at the new possibilities. That's this wonderful standpoint of spirit. Again, at the risk of repeating myself, I think this is so important. This was from last week, and this is out of the Science of Mind textbook. Because we fail to realize that principle is not bound by precedence, we limit our faith to that which has already been accomplished, and few miracles result. When through intuition, faith finds its proper place under divine law, there are no limitations, and what are called miraculous results follow. What's a miracle? It's interesting, I think, to look at our perceptions of words. And we may still have those perceptions, you know, the feeding of the 5,000 in the New Testament and the parting of the Red Sea in the Old Testament, and those jaw-dropping, man-oh-man experiences are miracles. But everything else is just commonplace. But somebody said, maybe it was Einstein, there are two ways to live life, either as though everything is a miracle or as though nothing is a miracle? Which feels better? Because at the end of the day, all we're doing is looking for a thought that feels better. So what I know is it was a miracle that I was fully present in the moment coming to church this morning and did not run into the plastic box of something that was dropped on the 8 West. It was a miracle that I also did not run into the Christmas tree that was dropped on the ramp to the 805 North. I'm like, what is going on here this morning? Wow, because we're divinely protected. And by the way, we kind of need to be fully present in the moment, because if I was on the phone or changing the radio or something else, I'd have the front of a Christmas tree or the back end of the Christmas tree and the front of my car, which I do not have. Many, many lessons there. But we look at those as miracles and say, yes, thank you. We're divinely protected, always, always, always. So my question for us is, as we look at 2015 and our year of celebration, what are we planning? Are we planning a year like last year, like the year before, pretty much dragging along? Or are we planning greater experiences than we could have possibly imagined? Yes. Yes. Because life always says yes. No, I did that and tried that and it didn't work. I did that and tried that and it didn't work. So I just go along. That's not what we came here to do. We came here to express and experience spirit, which is those wonderful, jaw-dropping, amazing experiences that life always says yes to, or we can just kind of go along. Either way, it's up to us. Do we allow ourselves to consider the next big thing? We were watching CBS Sunday Morning this morning, and which one was it? One of the people that they interviewed, I so love these object lessons that life brings me, and one of the people that they interviewed, and I forget who it was, said he's ready for the next big thing, the next man, oh man. I forget who it was, but are we ready for that next trip or that next check in the mailbox or that next physical healing or that next emotional healing where we do our forgiveness work and then wake up one morning and just it's almost like the weight has been lifted. If you're on my email list, you got an email from me this last week about a teleclass that Cliff Edwards is going to be doing on forgiveness. And I so invite you to take a look at that. And Cliff is with us this morning. See him after the service for more information. Because, yes?
During the announcements, I'll share just a special invitation for everybody as well.
Oh, wonderful. Good. Thank you for that. If we don't do anything else, there's the opportunity to forgive. And if we don't, then we schlep. We schlep that resentment, that regret, that stuff. My topic this morning having to do with I love the concept of the pipeline. And what I think of is the pipeline of the good. And the good in whatever you want to call it, the financial good, the new job that you just can't, I can't sleep because I'm so excited I got to get to work in the morning because I love it so much that I do it anyway even if they didn't pay me. The good of the physical health, the good of the relationships that are just so darn cool, the good of the lightness of our being when we've released whatever we needed to release. The pipeline is blocked by resentment. The pipeline is blocked by regret. I have somebody in my life who, she's in a restaurant, and when the sandwich arrives and it's on whole wheat, inevitably she will say, I should have gotten sourdough. Do we do that? Man, maybe not with a sandwich, but with our experiences, because see, there's always another sandwich. So get sourdough next time. Get whole wheat, get rye, get pumpernickel, get whatever you want, because there's another opportunity coming. There's another opportunity coming down the pipeline. But when we stay stuck in that regret, I shouldn't have, and there's that word should, I shouldn't have or I should have, and we stay stuck in that, then it blocks the good from flowing to us. So the opportunity is to look at those things, forgive those things, ourselves as well as everybody else, release the blocks to the pipeline so that our good can come to us. What are we planning for 2015? Are they goals or are they dreams? Mary Morrissey talks about the difference, and I love the concept of this. The goal is cleaning out the garage. The goal is losing 20 pounds. The goal is taking the dog to the groomer. If we know how to do it, it's a goal, not a dream. What in your life are you ready to experience that you have no flipping clue on how to do it? Ever had one of those? I absolutely know you've had one of those. It's the greatest thing, because the goal, you know, and I'm proud of myself that I cleaned out the garage, or I'm proud of myself that I did whatever, and that's nice. But we didn't come here just for nice. We came here, again, for that jaw-dropping, holy cats, look at this, it's better than I could have possibly imagined, and I had no idea how to do it, but Spirit says, I've got this. Do we limit what we're choosing to experience based on what we've done before and what we know how to do? Or do we allow this loving, nurturing presence to step up and say, yes, I've got this? It's an interesting question for us. It's the Father's good pleasure. It's the universe's good pleasure to give us the kingdom being this day-to-day experience of Spirit. It's going to the Hotel Del for Sunday brunch. Ever been? Religious experience, and I know religious experiences. It's, I don't know, $60 or $70 or something, but they've got everything you could have possibly imagined, and the chocolate fountain that you can dip a piece of Swiss cheese in the chocolate fountain. I mean, talk about wow. Or strawberries, or, you know, a biscuit or a marshmallow or whatever, but just whatever you want to do there, and they've got the sticks for that. But it's about doing the appetizers and the main courses and the dessert and the chocolate fountain as compared to going and getting dry toast and a glass of water. Because if life is the Sunday brunch at the Hotel Del, or whatever works for you in the experience of absolute preposterous abundance, that's offered to us. Or you could have the water and dry toast. We always get to choose. So we do our affirmative prayer. We end it with, and so it is, which translates to amen. And then what? Then what? I don't know about you, but I tend to notice myself, not always, but from time to time, notice myself trying to help. Did you do that? And so it is. Amen. Okay, God, we need to do this. It could come this way. It could come this way, but it can't come this way, and I can't even imagine it coming this way. But what? So we do. But think about when we, if you're doing your spiritual mind treatment, your affirmative prayer for a new job, what you don't just want something to get up and go to work 5 days a week. You want this most amazing, heart-opening experience that provides income, but provides joy beyond your wildest dreams. So what if somebody called you and said, I need a personal assistant, and I'll pay you $100,000 a year to be my personal assistant, to do shopping for me, to travel with me, et cetera, et cetera. You know, in Edwin Gaines's book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, she gives the example of this woman that just loved to travel and didn't have money to travel on her own, but just would love to travel and so forth. And so she we call it manifestation, but it's the answered prayer. The answer to the prayer was traveling with this elderly woman who needed somebody to go with her and carry the luggage and all the rest of that. And so she went with her, traveled all over the world, absolutely amazing experience. And then the lady passed away, made her transition, and left this woman enough money so that she could keep doing what she wanted to do. Are we willing to consider that the universe has ways of bringing our good to us that we hadn't thought of yet? Or do we just look at this column in the want ads, and if it's not there, we dismiss it? Are we responsible for the production or just the pipeline? What's our responsibility? There's a great parable in the New Testament about the 10 virgins at the wedding. And I won't go into a lot of detail, but as you might remember, the crux of it is that they are there and they're waiting for the groom to come and get them to take them to the reception. And five of them bring their lamps. Now, keeping in mind, in biblical times, there weren't street lights. Light was really important, because if you didn't bring oil for your lamp, if you didn't make plans to have that something to generate light, you were literally and figuratively in the darkness. And so five of the wise virgins are there with oil in their lamp. I'm thinking about a song. Do you remember, those of you that come from traditional Christianity, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Yes, yeah, and I will not sing that song because I love you too much for that. But anyway, slight detour there. So five virgins with oil in their lamps, and five virgins that, man, you know, I meant to go to Walmart and get some oil for my lamp, and I just forgot about it. And so they're there. And so it's time to go to the wedding reception, and the groom is there, and they say, this is paraphrased, they say to the wise virgins, we're out of oil, let me have some. And the wise ones say, well, if I give you some of mine, then I'm not going to have enough. You're out on your own. Once we do our, and this is used oftentimes to say that this is watching for the second coming. And so we got to keep oil in our lamp and be awake and aware so that we know the second coming. But I suggest that this is what happens after we do our treatment work. Are we so busy trying to help God with this that we are not paying attention? Do we listen? I don't know about you, but it's been my experience that the still small voice is very often talking. Turn here. Call this person. I know you don't want to do this, but it's okay. Do it anyway, and I'll help you. My affirmation for 2015 is, I know what to do, and I do it. There are two parts to that, both of which are very important. Because we know what to do, we know who to call, we know what's necessary to whatever. Do we do it? Or, I don't want to do that. I don't want to ask for that. I don't want to call that person. I don't want to go there. We're always given that guidance, but we're not always paying attention. We're always, after we do our prayer, we're ready to receive, but we limit it based on how it could be. Yes, it might come from you. It might come by UPS, but it might also come by Federal Express or the Postal Service. If somebody other than UPS rings the bell, could it be our good arriving? Or do we say, no, no, it's got to be UPS? Does the job have to look like this? Or could it be that unexpected income, that ordinary miracle? Does it have to be this way? Or could it be this way or this way or this way? Do we allow ourselves to be the pipeline, or do we limit spirit to what's happened before? Interesting question for us. And back of all of this, do we allow ourselves to ask? The Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. I've used the example before. I want a bagel. I want a toasted egg bagel with cream cheese. And I'm sitting in the living room watching television, and I just really want this. I want this. I want this. And guess what? I'm still wanting this. Because what I have to do is get up, go get the bagels out of the freezer, slice it, put it in the toaster, and allow the electricity to do what the electricity does. Sometimes there's nothing to be done except knowing and accepting and affirming the parking place or whatever it is. But sometimes there's work on our part that needs to be done, because the box of $100 bills rarely is delivered by UPS to your doorstep. And if that is your experience, I would love to talk with you, and I'll gratefully accept your 10% tithe. But for most of us, there's something to be done. Do we allow ourselves to do it and then listen for the next step and the next step? This thing called faith is the follow through. It's the doing our prayer work, but then listening for what is ours to do, and by the way, what is not ours to do. But it's that listening that's so important. And staying in a place of expectation of that greater good, of that whatever it is. How often do we do, you know, boy, I want that to happen, and so it is, and then we just allow ourselves to list all the reasons why it couldn't possibly happen. How much time do we spend in impossibility versus possibility, or worrying about how it's going to happen? Wonderful book that my Wednesday night book study class used a couple of months ago, Emmett Fox, Find and Use Your Inner Power. Great little book. And he talks about this experience related to taking a train to Boston. So presumably he's in New York City, he's taking the train to Boston, and I'd like to share this with you. Many people are constantly subjecting their minds to ordinary, unnecessary wear and tear. They rehearse past troubles mentally, and often they even rehearse trouble that they think is likely to happen tomorrow or next week, thereby helping to bring it upon themselves. And I would suggest this is also, we do this also after we do our prayer, we're giving ourselves all the reasons why that couldn't possibly happen, because we're too old or too young or too thin or too fat or in this economy or whatever. They indulge in violent mental arguments with absent people. Ever do that? They cross all kinds of bridges mentally hundreds of miles before they reach them. We speak colloquially of taking the train somewhere, and actually many people who ride in trains do take the train mentally the whole journey. And that is why so many people are quite worn out when they arrive at their destinations. The New Yorker who takes the train to Boston in this way gets in at Grand Central, sits down uneasily, not even physically relaxing, and immediately begins to wonder whether the train will arrive on time. He wonders whether he will be able to find a red cap promptly. In imagination, he dashes about the platform in Boston looking for a porter. He runs mentally up the steps to the street level. If he knows the city, he dashes mentally through the streets to the place of his appointment. Coming back momentarily to the present, he glances at his watch and looks out the window to see how far the train has gotten, and he keeps this up for the 4 or 5 hours of the journey. After we do our affirmative prayer, do we relax and listen, or are we helping dig the tunnel? Are we helping push the train? Are we helping the universe do this? Many years ago, I noticed when a train arrives in the terminal from a long run, the locomotive men always seem to come off the train looking fresher than most of the passengers, although they've been working and the passengers have not. This, of course, is the explanation. For the engineer and fireman, it was only a routine day's work. They did not dream of trying to take the train mentally. They let the engine take it. The passengers, who were in a mental turmoil most of the time, were trying to take the train and suffered the consequences. What do we do when the answer to the prayer arrives? Are we completely exhausted because we were helping God push that elephant up the hill? Or are we relaxed because, and we say, of course I found that job. Of course we paid the rent. Of course that healed. What's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to allow. That's my new favorite word. We just allow. Allow the universe to do what it said it would. We just allow. The universe, God, Spirit, our higher power, has got this. Whatever this is, when we allow it to. What new good in 2015 will you allow? With that in mind, join me in the light for just a moment. So in the peace and the quiet of this moment, we allow ourselves to be reminded of our oneness with the God presence, with one another, and with all of life. And we give great thanks for the opportunity to be together this morning, to be reminded of our truth. And we choose to move forward in this day and the week ahead in this consciousness and this experience of allowing. Allowing Spirit to bring us that greater good. Allowing Spirit to tell us what we need to know and acting on those intuitive ideas. Allowing ourselves to release and keep releasing if necessary. Reminding ourselves that Spirit's got this. There's nothing stopping the manifestation of this, whatever this is, except my belief in impossibility. And so I see the word impossible as I am possible. And we accept that in our relationships, in our money, in our physical health, in every area of our lives. We say yes, thank you, and more please. And that becomes our experience just because we have allowed. We give thanks for our time together this morning, for this spiritual community, and for this place we call Joyful Living Spiritual Center. And together we say, and so it is.